The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Is your hard-earned money shrinking fast? Need some help? Call my friends at Lear Capital to learn about owning gold and silver, the ultimate protection hedge against inflation and market volatility. And experts are predicting metals are set to soar. Learn more. Call 800-430-2919.
This is the Seculo Brothers Podcast. We want truth, no more lies, no more lies. We speak how we feel, no more compromise. Take away our freedom, huh? Now, this is America, land of the brave and a home of the free, and a country full of people feel just like me.
Land of the brave and a home of the free, and a country full of people feel just like me.
All right, welcome to the Secular Brothers Podcast. As we always state, our names... Jordan Seculo.
This is Logan Seculo. I feel weird saying my full name. I don't say that often. Logan Seculo, it's Monday.
Maybe add your middle name in.
It's October 10th, 10/10/22.
Less than 30 days till midterms.
I know. People are all talking. I just got invited to a midterm party.
It gets wild this time of year. As I've told everybody, this is when the dirt starts. Wild.
We're going crazy at this midterm party. But yeah, you're right. There is a lot that's happened.
Also, dirt starts flying.
Over the last week, yeah. We've had a lot. Look, we were on here just Thursday talking about Kanye West interview with Tucker Carlson. And look, I will say that if you go back and listen, I said that at one point Kanye kind of had done similar things, and I'd say actually for a much longer period of time. I didn't realize it would explode in 3 days for evangelical Christianity. He was doing Christian conventions. He was speaking.
He had an album, right? Like a worship album.
Oh yeah, beautiful record. And then he was on stage with Joel Osteen and was doing all of these preaching events and youth outreaches, him and Kim. And then about 6 months, when he started talking about running for president, it all started to kind of implode. And I actually was someone who, at the time, because he said some of those statements like he did on Tucker, I was like, I actually was in favor of him running as a disruptor because he had a lot of our similar views. But now, a few days later, he's been suspended on Instagram, suspended on Twitter, gone. It started with an Instagram conversation.
Not like for the reasons that all of us get suspended.
No.
It was not like just a straight up political remark. It wasn't like the election was stolen. It wasn't about vaccines. It was
I love you said all of those, so now we're just flagged like crazy.
It was about Jews.
Yeah, it was.
I said that.
Yes. Okay. So we just covered all the bases. thank you very much. On the AI, I'm sure we'll love this episode. The Instagram, he posted on Instagram a conversation between him and Diddy just about, kind of.
Do we need to explain who Sean Diddy is?
Diddy, P. Diddy, Puff Daddy. And he was saying.
I feel like our audience,
I think they know. And he was saying, hey, can you cool it? Like, you're going too far. He was talking about the
trying to walk him off the ledge a little.
Yeah, and talking a little bit about what was happening with Tucker. Because he was, and really the fashion week with Candace Owens.
Yeah, it wasn't the pro-life statement that played that has caused all this disruption. This was the White Lives Matter
shirts.
And then the subsequent attack on Jews.
Yeah.
So threatened attack on Jews. Didn't really.
He posted on Instagram an image of a conversation. It said something about Jewish people to Diddy. And even we both were like, well, that's not great.
Yeah.
And then 2 days later, he posted on Instagram, or he was on Twitter because he couldn't get on Instagram. And Elon was like, welcome back.
Yeah. He got burned too.
Again, be careful.
He burns people. Like, I don't think he burned Tucker because Tucker Carlson is an interviewer.
Yeah, then he's kind of a journalist.
And that's for entertainment and also for news, and he's both.
Why wouldn't you do it? Now, do I think this is great for Candace Owens? Probably not.
No.
Do I think this is great for those who hold themselves up as sort of...
It makes them just seem like fake.
Yeah, because you hold themselves up as like a moral high ground.
Oh, yeah.
And then you associate yourself. I told people this. I like Kanye.
I keep getting emails from her like, the email things that say Hollywood is satanic.
Yeah.
I'm thinking... you just kind of were with somebody pushing some pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
And it's an attack on the Kardashians.
Yeah. So this
Have you seen that?
No.
Yeah, this is one of her. This comes from her Blexit,
which is her the
Candace's thing.
Yeah. It's Hollywood is, and these emails kept going out this weekend, which I was like, you know, maybe you're implying that other people aren't paying attention to the other issue, but you're calling people satanic. That's pretty intense.
Yeah. So this came, I'm trying to find the timestamp date.
It was late.
It was late night. Well, I texted it to you. He said, I'm a bit sleepy tonight. And this was, again, this was like immediately after going back on Twitter and the first time in years. He put, I'm a bit sleepy tonight, but when I wake up, I'm going DEFCON 3 on Jewish people, on all caps. So not even like caveating it, Jewish people. The funny thing is, I actually can't be anti-Semitic because black people are actually Jews. Also, you guys have toyed with me and tried to blackball anyone who ever opposes your agenda. So I think mainly the problem people had was saying I'm going DEFCON 3 on Jewish people.
What does that even mean?
And people took it, I think, social
media.
So
they took his ability to speak or what?
Yeah, social media platform said this is a direct threat to just Jewish people. Now, I think probably what he was saying was I'm going to go on some rants here. About,
yeah, it's probably words. I don't.
Yeah, think. Well, probably not great words.
But and, you don't know. This is where you go in on the social media balance. Is that just he's influential, and him saying that? Who does that trigger?
Yeah, it's not great. And look, again, we were pretty anti-censorship in terms of social media stepping in and saying it's going too far. But I think that some people probably stepped in and said this could get out of hand really quickly.
Yeah, where's this going?
And I it's sad.
Oh, I think this goes back to always be careful who you elevate.
Everyone is flawed. Everyone makes mistakes.
Yes.
But there's a track record for Kanye. As much as I can, I don't want to keep...
Yeah, well, like next
I don't
month he could keep, be coming out saying he's pro-abortion and hates Republicans.
Right. I don't want to keep caveating it.
He didn't say George W. Bush hated black people.
He was like, that was 20 plus years ago.
But that's kind of like his first big political statement.
And then, you know, the Taylor Swift stuff. And then later on he was pro-Trump. And then he wasn't pro-Trump.
Then he ran against Trump.
He ran against him. Then came back around. Then he's wearing a mask everywhere. An artist, a brilliant mind, but also a guy who, as we've said, it's concerning when you do this, I think, to any celebrity quickly. You give them no time to, when you start using them in your fundraising, when you start using them in these things.
Well, that's what I said. Like, when I got the Candace Owens email, and again, she's got the balance too, because she is a provocateur.
Absolutely. And got more attention for that.
She's not a mainstream politician.
No, but she got probably more attention for that than anything, except for maybe when she was sparring with Trump. You know,
the last time around, she got a lot of attention, you know, was because she took a different position than Trump. And I just think it was weird getting the email saying who's satanic and you're throwing terms like that around. Also pretty intense.
Yeah, I don't care for that either. And
I think, listen, some of this is because we're always looking for celebrities. On our side... Yeah. You know, we have the country music. We have some country music people, some rock people, some usually later in their careers.
Yeah, like Aaron Lewis of Stained.
Who are willing to speak out.
Yeah, I mean, I like Aaron Lewis of Stained.
Or they've like gone all in on it for
branding. He sold out the
purposes.
Ryman. You know why he sold out the Ryman here? Because of his political stances.
That's what I'm saying.
Not because of, you know, people are just thinking about how much they love the music of Stained.
They go all in.
People embrace it really quick because you're right. There aren't a lot of voices. So when there's not that many voices in the room... Especially in
Kid Rock.
Yeah, exactly. Kid Rock or a lot of these guys who can play arenas or play big theaters by just putting out, you know, quality music, I'd say. Still good music, but really catering to a base of people that feels very underserved in terms of.
He has like a Let's Go branded.
Oh,
song,
yeah.
Right?
And all the merch is like, you could never wear it anywhere. And, you know, it's over the top.
Yeah.
And but I think you're going to see more and more of this as there
some
are.
Of that is okay. But if you elevated Kid Rock to become like the preacher, then I think people, you know, that's how you turn people off from faith. That's how you turn people off from politics. And they think it's all just, they think it's all part of just the bigger, stupid, crazy show.
Yeah.
That why even involve yourself? It's a very nasty time. This is before a very contested election. Abortion is one of the top topics. I mean, that's not every election cycle either.
Yep.
And so that gets people very heated quickly. You got war. You got Roe versus Wade being overturned. You have inflation. You got the border. You have rising crime, drug deaths. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot for people to handle. And
then the personal attacks start. Herschel was just the beginning.
Yeah.
You're going to see that more and more. He's obviously high profile, but you know, you're going to hear it about both sides. Anything that they've got about somebody is going to come out these next 29 days.
Yeah, that's coming out. There's a lot. There's a lot happening right now. And look, there's a lot of things in media, like you said. There's people who are kind of clinging towards, if there ever is a conservative. I thought this was interesting. We haven't even talked about this, but not a conservative, but someone who, there is this sort of move in the Democrats with your Bill Maher's and those kind of guys, for the sort of, you say, anti-woke, pro-free speech guys.
Yeah.
So you had someone like John Cleese, who, you know, from Monty Python, was like the main guy of Monty Python. He just signed on to do a new TV show with what's considered like the British Fox News, the hard right. And it is called, let's see, I don't know what's the actual, the network's GB News, Great British News.
That's like where Nigel Farage.
Yeah, all those guys are on. And John Cleese.
Max, would you say
that? I would say it's more like that. Yeah, it's less even, I'd say, like Fox, and it's more
hard
right. But he said they approached him, and he felt that even though they had a lot of differences, that the main thing they wanted to do was to actually have these discussions and to have free speech. And again, sort of this this debate and this discussion format. And they have, in England, being a hardcore conservative also means kind of different things.
Yeah, yeah, it's
different. You know, even if you listen to them, it's still, you'd probably watch it and go, well, they're kind of soft on this issue and kind of soft on this issue. Because
yeah.
It's just not as talked about, these topics, especially the social kind of issues.
Yep.
But it's interesting that even people like that, John Cleese, I don't know how he's doing financially. I mean, the last thing I saw them do was the Monty Python reunion thing that was to the sold out O2 arena with like 25,000 people there every night.
Whenever they want to turn on some cash, they can.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He does signings and all of that. So for him to make.
He does ads.
Yeah. And to go out and make a statement saying, I'm going to sign with a controversial network, something that actually could hurt.
Yeah, that's interesting.
The long term Monty Python brand in some ways, because it's like maybe someone decides not to carry the show anymore.
Yeah, you don't know, or no one these days.
Yeah, you know, kind of what happens to the Dukes of Hazzard. You know, they had nothing to do with the fact that there was a Confederate flag on the car, but all of a sudden those actors don't get, you know, reruns anymore and don't get their royalties from reruns because they don't air that anymore. That kind of stuff I could see happening. But people are making those statements. It's interesting. John Cleese, Kanye,
well,
same.
Thank God that AOC came in to save the Jews.
Oh, yes. If you were talking about, you know, if Kanye went on a
show. She only wants Israel destroyed, so no homeland for the Jewish people, but she does, you know, care about getting reelected, I guess.
Yeah, she went on a. Look, Kanye went on a not really even debatable sort of anti-Semitic statement. And.
Yeah, I'd say this is the crazy side of Kanye, which we know exists.
Yeah, and said something that was pretty indefensible. And who was the first person to stand up and say, we must stop this injustice? And that is our favorite, your favorite member of the squad, leader of the squad.
Sandy Cortez.
Some people call her, yes. AOC. Do we have that tweet? Can we put that up? This is a tweet that came up almost immediately following. There is absolutely no room in this country or world for anti-Semitism. I want to stop there. I mean, what a statement, AOC. I love it. Just coming out there and saying there's no room for anti-Semitism.
Your best friend is
don't talk about your best friends.
Rashida Tlaib.
Right. Someone who literally makes anti-Semitic remarks on Twitter.
Ilhan Omar.
Yeah. All about the Benjamins.
Yeah. I mean, really anti-Semitic statements.
Yeah. Not just anti-Israel statements.
No.
Straight up anti-Semitic statements.
Yeah. I mean, I think they've all said pretty similar things to Kanye. Maybe not as direct as... Pretty direct, though. Like, all about the Benjamins, pretty direct.
Pretty direct. I told you one.
Jews controlling everything, I think, is a narrative that is in a lot of their commentary. And we've called it out as anti-Semitism. So if that's anti-Semitism, then you got to be fair and say that what Kanye said, whether he was in his right mind or not, seems anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like it's coming from a bad place.
I think that's right. And her tweet kind of...
I don't think there's any way to misinterpret interpret differently.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't have the tweet in front of me now.
If someone else said they were going DEFCON on the Jews, it would be even bigger.
Important to see how harmful and dangerous Kanye's words are, not only to our Jewish brothers, sisters, and siblings, but also to our collective society at large.
You know this is only because he said he was pro-life.
Right.
And he's like concerned.
So
like,
that is
she
where
would
people's
not even be commenting
heads
on.
Go explode because you go, you can't even see your own hypocrisy.
You got to take a step back.
And you're only doing this because he came out essentially as a conservative. And
this
then
week.
Came out a little bit more intense than maybe a lot of us would like. But they wouldn't even be commenting. If Kanye had said something Kanye had said something anti-Israel or anti-Semitic Saturday, she would not be making a statement. If
no,
it wasn't,
Tucker Carlson
if it wasn't before Tucker and before
and the White Lives Matter.
Yes, before Fashion Week. So that is where people see the hypocrisy and they get pretty grossed out by it.
Both.
I do.
It's how people turn off everything.
Yeah.
And you don't want that
a few
necessarily
weeks away
going into a midterm.
A few weeks away from a midterm.
No, because everybody's going after the same kind of elusive middle class voter who's not that intense on politics but is paying attention because their pocketbook and things are expensive.
Speaking of pocketbooks, things that are expensive. We should talk about our friends at Lear Capital. It's a perfect time.
Yeah. When you threaten nuclear Armageddon, it's a pretty good time to
buy some gold.
Yeah. You need gold. Something you can barter with.
That's right. If you want to learn more, you got to learn more about Lear Capital. Like we said, there's a lot going on right now. There's people said that record high inflation. You've seen gas prices going back up. I noticed that last night.
It's going back up. And this is the real reason it's not going up faster is because they're using the strategic reserve. But that's going to be done.
It's still not great, though. It's cresting to $4 here in Nashville. So, I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's going to get to $6.7 again, unfortunately.
But, so we know the cost of everything is insane. And if you're looking for ways to kind of start... You know, looking at different investment opportunities, looking at ways to diversify your portfolio. We want you to check out Lear Capital. Call Lear Capital today for your free precious metals investor guide. And also ask about the Lear Advantage IRA that lets you transfer or roll over your old 401k or IRA into a gold and silver tax advantage IRA. Plus, Lear is offering free shipping and up to $15,000 in bonus gold or silver with a qualified purchase. Call for details at 800-430-2919. Lear Capital is the most rated precious metal company, consumer affairs, and has a near-perfect rating on Trustpilot. Again, call 800-430-2919. That's 800-430-2919. Make sure you use that phone number because that number is tracked for us. So when you use that, it tells them you came here from the Secular Brothers.
Yeah, and I always like to say they actually support us so we can have these conversations openly. You might agree with us all the time. You might not agree. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you don't. But the backbone of the issues, and why we're all conservatives, they're not afraid of standing with us. So I encourage you, if you're thinking about it, this is that time we've said, you know, maybe I need to diversify, call 800-430-2919.
Yeah, make sure you do that. Take a look at it. There's a lot going on in the world. Like you just mentioned the – and look, there is a link, by the way. It's in our descriptions, in our show notes. So you can find it there if you're looking for it. There's another way to do it. But I encourage you, call. You can learn a lot more information. And,
I was talking to Mike Pompeo earlier today on a broadcast, radio broadcast, Seculo, and I brought up, because it's not getting a ton of attention to the media, that, you know, the North Koreans have been firing off all these missiles.
Yeah, over Japan. Right?
Yeah, it's causing, there's a reaction there. But the Biden administration, remember how they mocked President Trump and Pompeo for going to meet with Kim Jong-un and trying to get them to, trying to just get them into the world a little, like, so... Don't make him feel as isolated. Maybe break him off from China a little bit. They're mocked for doing those summits. The Biden administration asked for the summit, and the North Koreans said no. So how weak are we as a country if the starving North Korea, who still is in the midst of COVID, I mean, just a disaster, is not even willing to sit down when they could get the photo op with, like, the President of the United States? And our lead, no strings attached is what they offered. Same kind of meeting.
So just the same, like, the photos we all saw with North Korea.
And they said no.
Just straight up,
no.
Not interested in meeting.
Yeah. Feels like the Saudis have blown us off, too.
Is that due
to... The only country welcoming us right now is Venezuela, because they're excited that we are lifting the sanctions on their oil. So we are arming yet another dictator in their ability to oppress their people. But, and by the way, they are bad actors right on our doorstep. Not far away from the United States, because they host, because of their oil power, they host a lot of these Iranians and a lot of.
Is it because there's no respect there for it, or there's no? There's not afraid.
No threat, and I think they also said, like, they don't want no strings attached. Now I think they want something in return. They want you want to be with us? Yeah. Lift some sanctions off. Give us sanctions relief. Yeah. Give us some kind of money, like the Iranians are saying, like. No billions is enough. We want more billions to even come to the table again. So I think that's why they look at us. They say we're weak. They're not going to do anything to us anyways. If they're not going to help us, if they're not going to do anything positive, and I would encourage, by the way, the U.S. to, like, go in and start lifting sanctions on them. But dialogue is good. Dialogue usually prevents bigger conflict. I think that was the problem with Russia. We somehow just cut them off. And the dialogue stopped, and then they go invading.
Yeah, when you hear a threat of nuclear war also, you start going, okay, you can't meet with North Korea. They're shooting off missiles. You have all these concerns. That doesn't necessarily bring the temperature down in the room.
No.
I think a lot of people, as much as they got a lot of flack, Pompeo did, Trump did,
yes.
For meeting with Kim Jong-un.
I was on a plane. I remember watching it.
It was wild. But then you looked at it and went, man, it did de-escalate things. It did feel like the temperature dropped.
It felt like the North Koreans had, for probably the first time in a long time, somewhere to go. someone to call.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that's anything perfect by any means. It's a
no.
horrendous regime. But sometimes with those, if you're not going to go to war, what the other option is dialogue. And trying to figure out a way, as we always say, these exit ramps, so that they don't feel like they need to fire off ICBMs. We don't need North Korea. Those ICBMs could fall out of the sky at any moment. Yeah.
And at the same time, you have the Selective Services putting out tweets that are are a bit concerning.
Let's put it up.
Yeah, we can put up that tweet. This comes from the Selective Service Twitter account, which, by the way, until this tweet, pretty much an inactive account. Posted every few days, but like...
About like the draft?
Not really. It was just sort of like, yeah, find out more information. Do you want to know something? The comments were very... limited, you know, and no one commented. There was like one interaction. Then they put out this one yesterday, and it kind of exploded on social media. It's a picture of a father and a son. And again, this is on the heels of just a couple days ago, a threat of
nuclear Armageddon.
Armageddon. I forgot that he used the word Armageddon. This is what it says. Parents, which are already a great start. It's a Selective Service. Parents, if your son is an only son and the last male in your family to carry the family name, he is still required to register with the Selective Service, SSS. Learn more about who needs to register at SSS.gov. And it has this smiling picture of son. So pretty much it's saying, we don't care about your family line. It's time for your kid's going to have to sacrifice, and you're going to have to sacrifice maybe losing your child to a war.
That you don't know. What is this war?
People forget that the draft is still... We were talking about this just last week at lunch. That, like, we had to sign up. But people are still... You have to sign up.
So I remember Men this do. As a political issue. So I worked for the Bush's reelect.
Uh-huh.
And that's that was 2004? The 2004 campaigns. But 2003, we started the Iraq War. We already were in Afghanistan. And the Kerry... I don't... There was no Twitter.
It started to bubble up.
Yes, the Kerry campaign was allowing the message to go out. I wouldn't say that they were... They were driving it, but they were not the face. But to this rumor all over college campuses that we were going to reinstitute the draft because we were going to war in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yeah.
And listen, that was a time when we had just been attacked on 9/11. It was people's patriotism was very high.
A lot of people were signing up. Yeah.
People. Yeah. So there was we were nowhere near a draft. Yeah. We were talking about military invasions of a few thousand. Yes, that we used a lot of troops, like in Iraq, like 100,000. But after that, like day three, we were down to just thousands,
yeah.
You know, and it began occupying immediately. But we had to put out a statement, actually. I mean, it got that bad. This was before Twitter, before you could just kind of nip this stuff in the bud. But I remember having to go to the campaign, go to like Kid Melman, who went to Karl Rove. And we're long enough now to tell these stories.
Yeah.
To get a statement. I don't know if we had to quote the president. Or if it just came out of the White House press department.
You were running the students' campaign.
Yeah,
and all that.
So I was. This is my job was young people, and a lot of our focus was evangelical students and you know conservative students on
the
campus.
Kids that were going to potentially vote Republican.
Yeah, which at that time was still more than you think.
Yeah.
About 40% of the voters.
Yeah,
because a lot of college kids don't vote, and again, this was pre-social media. We were just online, you know, with our websites. Well, something popped up to me. I did like a live web chat. That was like a big deal then. Just taking
user questions.
Yeah. But we had to go and issue a statement. And there was nothing like this for them to point to. There were wars.
Yeah.
You know, we had invaded Iraq. But there was no talk of like those being really like.
I just hate the words coming out. It's not like, hey, just by the way.
The sourcing of it's weird. This bloodline.
The bloodline of, hey, it doesn't matter. The last name,
like if it's not their last name, do you not? First of all, the name is not like the most important thing about your kid.
Yeah. What you're saying is it doesn't matter if you only have one son. Also weird that they're throwing
why
in
they
these
need to remind everybody
gender
this?
Stuff into it as well. Like,
oh, that's definitely there. That's what I read into it.
You have one son. It doesn't matter if it's one son. That you have,
it doesn't matter what that son considers himself
in your bloodline. I did read up on all of that, you know, kind of what is the conscious objector rules? What are the rules right now? Because I thought it was like my son's not that far away from having to do this.
No,
you're talking he's turns 10 this year, so 8 years or so.
I don't know why they need to make it a big deal,
right? And maybe they didn't think it would be. And look, some people caught on to it; it became kind of viral, but it was so the words are so extreme and so bizarre. For in a world where we haven't had to institute a draft in our lifetime, and for some people's lifetime, sure, there are plenty of people from Vietnam are still who still serve, but that's still 60 years ago at this point now. and we've kind of moved on, I'd say, somewhat as society from
also a military draft. You don't really think wars is like you need the people so much as you need the weapons.
Yeah, we've changed. Yeah,
there's drones.
The on the ground warfare is a lot different.
Yeah, you still need like special. You need what we have. You need a volunteer army, obviously. Yeah. You need special forces. You need people who will do infantry. You need all those steps. So I don't want to play down the importance of having a military.
Oh,
but
no.
This is not like you go put 50,000 people.
Yeah, it's just
now, unless you're talking about going to war with Russia on the ground.
It's an odd right.
No one thinks that war would be on the ground. Everybody thinks that goes immediately nuclear.
It's just a weird thing to drop Friday at 5 p.m.
Of course. Remind everybody going to the weekend that you're one kid.
By the way, your one and only son, we're going to potentially take from you.
It's also very sexist.
It feels so weird. The whole thing is weird.
We both have son and daughters. So I think I can say, like, it also makes me feel like that's what it's like. That's all that matters. What about my daughters matter?
Right. It says parents.
And I know they don't have to sign up. So that's you're already doing gender distinction.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing is that we're supposed to be told don't do any gender distinction.
Yeah.
Unless it comes to war.
Yeah. It actually has that on the webpage. There's a whole thing about it. Because I started, like, I'm going to read this link.
So if you just claim to be.
Well, no. No, if you're biological male, period.
Doesn't matter what you identify as.
Doesn't matter. You do have to sign up. That's on there. There's a transgender tab.
Yeah.
I clicked on Reddit. Yeah, if you're biologically male, you do have to sign up. If you are born biologically female and transition to male, you do not need to. You cannot sign up. So they already have that caveat. And they've said on there, and even they said, hey, what about I have daughters? Why do they not have to sign up now? You know, why are we still doing this? Yeah. And they said it would take like an amendment.
Those foreign countries, it would take lots of foreign countries have this, change. And they actually require service.
Yeah, go to Israel.
And also in Western Europe.
Yeah. They said it would take a significant change in law to include women or non-biological males. So
that would easily change though, right,
you'd think they would just pass that. It's odd. The whole thing is weird. It made me very uncomfortable.
I'm not sure that we need the whole thing. You know it's being run like the IRS. It's a bunch of pieces of paper.
And there's so many.
Don't you get a card?
I think so, yeah.
Back. And then what do you do with this card?
And then
it's like your draft card.
And it said still that they're still doing the lottery, which you'll get. They'll have the number and your birthday and it'll match up. And it tells you how the whole lottery system works. And then if you keep reading, you're right.
I wonder how many people were paying in the federal government to keep this system, like, potentially
keep the draft system going. Yeah, in a world where it's probably not necessary, fighting wars that a lot of people are not in favor of. And that's what a lot of it is how to be a conscientious objector. And I feel like now, if they instituted the draft, there'd be like 95% of people would be like, yeah, I have a religious exemption to this.
Yeah, people aren't going to rush into Ukraine.
No.
If we were attacked, were attacked, then you don't even need a draft. Ever. Because Americans stand up.
But if there's a war, maybe there's a war at our border.
Maybe there is.
And maybe this is where I'm going to take a second and tell you about something else.
Take a minute.
You know, there's illegal drug trafficking has turned our southern border into a war zone, and it's a war that no one wants to talk about. And that's why I want to urge you guys to check out Border Battle, the new 6-part limited documentary series from Salem and Turning Point that exposes the sheer evil and inhumanity of drug cartels and the illegal drug trade. We talk a lot about the fentanyl crisis. They talk about that, the cartels like Jalisco New Generation, and have created really the worst overdose death crisis that's happened in our country. We're seeing it's affected everyone. It's killed thousands, tens of thousands of people. It's very dangerous. And this series is you're going to hear directly even from drug and patrol agents about the horrific conditions along the border and what it's like on the front lines. And we've never seen anything like this in our history when it comes to the border crisis. We've all kind of experienced some of the fallout from it. And I'm not talking about people. We're talking about, like I said, a lot of the
human beings
and then the drug crisis that's happening. And I want you guys to take a look at this new series. It's called Border Battle. It's available now. You can download the full 6-part series at SalemNow.com. That's Salem, S-A-L-E-M. There also are podcast network here, SalemNow.com. It's their they're kind of their streaming service you go to, and you can check out this 6-part series.
Yeah, today was a little bit heavier show.
It was.
But you know, you're going to tackle anti-Semitism. Obviously, it's personal to us. I just don't like everybody throwing around Jews. To be honest with everybody.
Like
I feel
up,
like this is happening a lot
coming
right
up
now.
A lot. Look, I mean,
like, it's like,
it's really bizarre. Even this is to tie into some entertainment. This professional wrestler, MJF, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, who is a proud Jewish wrestler, but also a top bad guy in professional wrestling. So he put out some tweets, as he does, in character.
In character.
That are just, you
as
know,
like a bad,
just mean, you know, as he is. He's just a mean character. Okay. And he started getting insane anti-Semitic. He had put out statements that kind of broke his character for maybe the first time ever, saying, kind of, lay off. And some of them started then with Free Palestine. And he's like, what does that have to do with, you know, who I am? I'm from Long Island. And then that conversation opened up. And then it starts spinning out of control because, you're right, it's like the last thing. And then the whole conversation of, well, are Jewish people, people of color, how are they being? And that whole session in the wrestling world ended up becoming a statement. And that's what happened over the weekend. And then Kanye broke. You know, so there's this whole narrative. I follow a lot of these
People just leave the Jews alone.
Yeah. I follow a lot of these
If you want to be like speaking out, you're Jewish, that's fine too. If you want to use this part, like talking about that.
A Jewish American who's, you know.
Fine. But also, like, can everybody else just, you know, in Ukraine, that's an issue.
Yeah.
And that's kind of unresolved, I would say. Like, that we were never allowed to really fully explore that. Like, are these troops that are part of this paramilitary group really? I mean, they do have the symbolism of
Nazis.
There's
like a swastika on their stuff. Yeah.
SS. You know, they have they use the same style. And again, can we explore? Like, are they far enough away from that they don't use that ideology more? Maybe. There's not a lot of.
But these conversations need to happen. And I follow a lot of, even though they are fairly liberal in their non-Israel or Jewish political beliefs. A lot of these people on social media
came out and was like, you know, why is it only Jews condemning? And then I think AOC was not long after that.
Maybe she saw that tweet and was like, I probably should step in here. I could.
Yeah, I think it's careful. What is it? You don't jump. First of all, like we said, people are going through it. If you've told everybody you're crazy, which he has many different times.
Yeah.
Then I think that is why people are a little bit slower to just like bury him because. He's told you he's got issues.
And I think that happens, but you're right, with Judaism or even not Judaism, religion.
I just wish people would lay off.
But that's even a whole conversation in Hollywood right now, which is, there's been all these kind of changes in the way that you can cast movies. And you can't have a straight person playing a gay character. A lot of times you cannot have a black person or a white person portraying a black voice. If it's an animated series, you had something like Family Guy had to change the voice of Cleveland. Those kind of things happen, but that's happening across the board. However, if you are portraying a Jewish character, the rules do not apply.
All the stereotypes you could throw in.
And you think about something like a Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I think one of those actors is Jewish, actually. The leads are not.
It's not necessarily bad.
They're not necessarily bad, but it's interesting that it's the double standard. And look, I'm not necessarily saying I'm for that, by the way. I think acting is acting, and if you can be an incredible actor, portray the character that you can portray. I have no issue with that. However, it's weird that it's the one exception to the rule. Like there's a Golda Meir movie. It's Helen Mirren, and Helen Mirren came out.
That never came out.
And it comes out. I think it's festivals right now. I can't wait to see it.
Complicated because of this.
An incredible actress, but she played. Yeah, she played Golda Meir, and they said, "Well, are you Jewish?" And she made some really weird remark of like, "I like shiny things, so maybe I'm part." Jewish, or maybe I'm like, what? Like, you can it's so crazy. And you're like, no one cares. No one cares about this. Bradley Cooper is playing. Oh, who is he playing? Oh, dang it. It's a composer. He is playing. I'm pulling it up right now as I sound. Leonard Bernstein. And they put prosthetics on him to come off, to take the features of Leonard Bernstein, which are maybe more traditionally Jewish features. It became kind of a story. But not really. Mainly people are excited. They're like, look, Golda Meir, Bradley Cooper. Isn't this awesome? Again, I have no personal problem with it. But it's the one exception
to
the
rule. Ryan Reynolds wants to play me.
Fine.
Is that a bad thing?
Yeah,
that's – I don't – yeah. First of all, I think if you're good at acting, if you've got the voice, I obviously
– Sarah Silverman's one of the people actually come out against it and said, look, I get no roles. There's all of these high-profile Jewish roles.
All she can probably
roles.
Get is –
Well, she doesn't even get those. She's like, I don't
she's
get that.
She's controversial, though. But that might be the reason.
Yeah, her thing is more. She
the other thing she said.
Yeah, but she's like, I don't get the roles that are for these Jewish characters. I get the ones that are, like you said, like the almost stereotypical, you know, bad character, not the beautiful, you know, Mrs. Maisel, or the, you know, you hire Bradley Cooper to play Leonard Bernstein.
Yeah.
It's an interesting conversation that needs to be had. We'll see.
I just don't know if you can have... It's tough to have. Yeah. We can have it.
And as those
But you see how people fall... Like, they start... First of all, race is very complicated to talk about, well, always.
We said that one of the big Jewish kind of tweets that went around this weekend was, Kanye did the bad problem, which is he said Jewish people and not Zionists. Because
AOC is on board with your statement.
Right.
She's like retweeting it.
Right, of course.
And Rashida Tlaib, they would all be like, oh, Kanye's speaking. Listen, just remember how I said, like, I'm fine having vessels for my beliefs that can be complicated people. Yeah. But if they bring in more people, but this doesn't. This just confuses people and it causes controversy when there's no need. But because we elevated them, and I say
so
we
quickly.
Like conservatives. We just jump on anybody who shares any of our views. And listen, I like what he said about life. If that's what he actually believes, that's wonderful.
Great.
And he probably does. But in 2 weeks, he could be wearing a Planned Parenthood shirt. That's just him, based off his history. Also, to remind everybody, they might say, like, oh, you said this was a lighthearted show.
What do you want to find?
Bros.
Oh, yeah.
Just to, you know, if you want
Speaking
to go
of lighthearted,
my
pill, maybe you're
I'm
sorry,
a... Percale starts today.
Maybe you're a light
at my house.
You want a lighthearted show? Well, what if you're too much of a light sleeper and you need to sleep better? You can use our friends at MyPillow. Check out MyPillow.com.
Give my geese are great.
Jordan, use the geese.
I'm rotating.
I think I'm
to
switching
Percale.
Tonight. I'm switching tonight. I'm checking them out.
I've got Percale going on as we speak.
Okay, we'll have to compare those tomorrow's show.
So and we'll so say. The promo code is just BROS Bros.
Bros. Use your promo code and just like all of our sponsors, which are awesome, but that one directly when you make a purchase. It directly, a portion of that goes back to support our show, so we appreciate that. Use promo code BROS at MyPillow.com. Until next time, we'll see you tomorrow.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.